Hello, hello. Welcome to the King Heroes Journey podcast. My name is Beth Martins. I'm hosting Miss Rebecca Shepherd today. It's been a little while since we've talked. And I see some people are already in the house. Come and say hello in the chat. Rebecca is a few minutes behind, so apologies for that. She is an in-demand woman. And this will give a chance to say hello to each other, have a chat. My cat's lying on my phone. That can't be good for his head. So come say hi if you're there already. Let me know who's here. And I'm going to get Rockfin set up if you want to grab yourself a tea or a notebook or anything like that. We're talking solutions today. So here we go. Just want to put her banner up. There we go. And let me see about Rockfin. And there's Rockfin all ready to go live. So if anybody would like to join us over on Rockfin, I'll grab you a link. Here it is. And put up your hand if you're new to this channel. This is the King Heroes Journey podcast. My name is Beth Martins. Kimberly's here. Hello, Kimberly. You're a rock star in the Stanford the world. If you're the Kimberly that I'm thinking of, thanks for sharing this today, by the way. I appreciate any sharing out because I'm super shadow banned. It's so sad. It's so sad. There are people around, but they don't get notifications, and then the videos are totally suppressed. And that's just how it is. So I don't moan and groan about that too much, but any help that you can be with sharing this out is very much appreciated. Here's the best link to share. And if you haven't taken in any of my interviews before, then this is where you can also find all of the archives. So there's the Rockfin link, and this is the Good Share link. All those roads lead to a good place. I never say lead to Rome anymore. I can't say that. And thank you, Kimberly. I totally appreciate that. Yeah, I always want to support Rebecca. I call her the tireless warrior out there. Like nothing seems to get her down. And hello, Mojo Shop. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. One love for all. Hello, Janet Baldock of the so-called freedom fighters out there. Stanford is actually getting results. This is the thing. This is the thing. Yeah, it became a kind of standard because, as you might know, I've talked to a lot of law guys out there. A lot. We hosted the Choose Freedom Law Summit with Matt Belair. And, you know, when I got done that summit, I realized like most of that is not actually of use to people. There can be, you know, some interesting things and things that seem to make sense in that world. They seem logical. There's no reason why they shouldn't work. But in reality, a lot of that stuff hasn't worked. And we've been able to see now over time where people are blowing air or they are literally grifting the alternative law movement. Some of you might know I've interviewed Brandon Sterling several times and he's able to shed a lot of light on why things are sideways. And hello from Chantel, aka Nancy Drew. Nice to have you here. Welcome. And so that's the theme of this podcast is to highlight those people that are willing to get out in front and take hits from all sides. And it doesn't get them down and they don't end up caught in the fight, right? And you guys might know that there's a whole ton of infiltration. We actually were in a House of Free Will meeting the other night, and I made the topic that our fellowship meeting that happens every couple of weeks. And I made the topic, list the lies that you've discovered, not, you know, out there in the mainstream, but in here in the alternative world. And I would hazard a guess to say the list is way longer than the lies in the mainstream world. Why do you think that is? Right? I got an answer for that. I'm a kind of tireless teacher. I'm in teaching mode. And hello, Ava. Nice to see you. Rebecca will be along shortly as soon as she can. She was a little frustrated by a meeting and it got started late. So she let me know that she will definitely be here, but a little bit on the behind side. So if you haven't yet subscribed to this channel, feel free to hit that button. And if you also, I don't usually beg for likes, but if you hit the like button, that also helps this get out there and defy the algorithms that are suppressing these things. So Rebecca Stanforthy has gotten results continuously. And every week on their Friday night Zooms, they're announcing new wins that have happened. So that's what we're going to be, one of the things we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about jurisdiction and legal authority of the municipalities, specifically with, you know, we have to talk in code here. So the cities that they don't want us to get around in and certainly not get out of at some point, bug out plans are good. And yeah, what was I going to say just about Brennan Sterling has blown a lot of holes in the alternative law movement. He's not popular. I know him and I get mentioned on a variety of podcasts right now. I really don't have any concern for that. And I would like to attract people who have discrimination and the ability to just see that, you know, they have to do their work. Rebecca just texted me saying she's almost done. So that's really good. Excited to talk to her. Last time I saw her in Winnipeg, she was here. And so, yeah, if we go back to the theme of my meeting the other night, what do you think are the bigger lies here in the alternative truth movement? I'd like to hear what you think. There's a ton of them I could just spout off. And it's most of them. In a way, it's a really big time saver because you don't have to spend all of your day looking at that. You know, there was a time where I was seriously studying it like a student and taking notes and memorizing facts, right? Not real stuff, but, and I, you know, want to learn. And then when you see, oh my gosh, wow, fabricated this and fabricated that and unsubstantiated everything. I remember going down, I won't say their name, but one of our very popular podcasters in the truth world. And he would always say in his live streams, don't take my word for it. Check out the notes below, and there's all the research and the links that will show you how I came to these conclusions. And so I went down that rabbit hole and I checked all of his links from several videos, and they all led to his own material. There was actually no scientific fact published to back up what he was talking about. And it's like, oh, that's a eye opener. Good to know. Good to know. So sometimes until you go and check for yourself, you really can't know what's real. But saving time is good. And that's one of the things that I've been doing in the last while is focusing a lot more on my own work. And that's so beautiful. Some people didn't even really know anything about my work because we were so busy just troubleshooting all the crap and trying to come up with solutions. Yeah, unbelievable. Exactly. And so if you don't know, I am a coach that helps people to deprogram the new world disorder. And this is my vision, that if people got the ability to reflect on their own inner consciousness, their own inner reality, and the things that are hidden from us, and that's not spooky. I don't like Halloween at all. It's literally what we don't see, usually because there's some pain associated with it. Right? It might be past traumas. We all have, unfortunately, traumatic entries into this world. If the medical system had anything to do with it at all, and that not having anything to do with it didn't exempt you from that. I know my son's very lucky. He was born at home in water and, you know, never had any medical intervention whatsoever, but it didn't save him from, you know, the normal things. And then when that stuff remains hidden from us, it doesn't go away. This was the big discovery when I was sick with cancer 20 years ago. And I, it was a big mystery question mark in my head. Why am I dying? I'm doing all the right things. And so that's when I began to discover this hidden nature of programming. And once I got hip to it, almost immediately, I was able to regain my life energy, regain my health, and never had to look back. Doesn't mean I don't go through things. I've been through things. If you go back in my notes, hello, Michelle, nice to have you here. I'm so glad you came. And Rebecca should be along shortly. I wanted to let you know that this Monday coming up is October 30th, and we are going to be having a live stream here in the afternoon on Monday with Sherry Rothwell, who is a health practitioner that I have a lot of trust and respect for. I've known her for a long time. And we're going to be talking about freeing your healing capacity and some of the principles that she's learned on the slow healing, particularly of the gut, why the gut health is so incredibly key to all kinds of health things that you might think are completely unrelated, why it's more complex than you think. What I said at the outset, health is simple until you don't have it. And it's not simple. It's just not, right? A lot of health practitioners out there just saying, oh, like this is the cure to everything and that's the cure to everything. And Eva is asking a question. What did I find? I was sacrificing myself a lot when I had cancer. Yes. I definitely, now this is something I'll frame in terms of the nurturer archetype that I write about in my book. If you haven't seen my book, if you're new to the channel, I'm always like to share a little flash of it. Keep a copy here. It's the 8 archetypes of the hero's journey. And it has a whole chapter on the nurturer. And so the nurturer's shadow is to sacrifice themselves in the name of, you know, whatever they feel to be valuable. And then often it has hidden motivation behind it, where you're, you know, the nurturer in particular is trying to avoid working on their own life and seeing their own shit and, you know, feeling their own pain. They like to run after other people and look after them. At the time I was trying to look after my family's business because they've been through some severe recession and a lot of, you know, struggle in that respect. So I was going to king hero for them and come and save the day. And I couldn't even save myself because it was such an incredibly unhealthy environment. I was unconsciously looking for ways out. And so that's really different from the conscious looking for solutions that we're doing here with Rebecca today. When you're unconsciously looking for a way out, God's hearing you, everything's hearing you, your body's hearing you, and you will find a way out. So that's a nurturer's very unfortunate way out of sacrificing themselves, Eva. And then, yeah, you struggle with that too. I was working with my students in the Journey Code coaching certification training, and they're a bunch of rock stars. Oh my gosh, so amazing. And we were working on the persona of that, how we can be that sacrificer for, you know, it can be even a really good cause. It's not like it won't be, but it's not good if you die in the process. And so I see Rebecca Shepherd is here in the room. Feel free to take a minute for whenever you're ready. You can just give me a thumbs up and I'll bring you on. She's already, she's always ready. This one.
Hi.
Hey, nice
Sorry
to see you.
Sorry about that. I was just in a JPT judicial pretrial for my husband's quarantine, and it's been since 2021, and the Crown's like, well, the defendant requested just JPT. I'm like, no, I didn't. Anyway, but you know what's really cool is because I'm self-represented, they give you a little more info than they normally would. And the judge, you know, I have really bad lighting. I moved into this room. Sorry if you guys, you know what, I'll go like this a little bit, then you can see me.
Yeah, that helps a lot, actually.
Yeah, that's much better. Yeah. Yeah. The light is coming from the side. Okay, there. Now you can see me. Hi.
Hi. spooky.
So she was explaining to me, you know, basically how this works is, you know, it's by statute, right? And if you did the statute and the evidence says you did, you're guilty. So I said, is what you're saying is this is a statute court? Well, yes. Oh, okay, cool. So when I put forward the motion for particulars, I'll be quoting this. So hi.
Very good. Very good. Breaking news. I love breaking news. Yeah. And when you were texting me about the JP is late, I thought, oh, I'm still so nescient. I didn't even put the like justice of the peace. That's what you mean, right?
Yeah. She was 20 minutes late. So
right.
Not surprised, but yeah.
Yep. Pretty common in the law world. Hey, they don't do anything on time. They don't do.
No, like, they ticket you on time.
Right. They're right on time for that. Exactly.
And that's actually, that's not always true. Sometimes they don't, but yeah.
Yeah. They can be well after the fact, actually. Yeah. They stalk, stalk you.
In Quebec, there's no statute of limitations. People are getting tickets from over a year ago.
My gosh.
Yeah. So it's a real problem in Quebec. Yeah.
That's
so hi, Beth. How are you?
You know, I'm pretty good. I'm pacing myself as we talked about earlier. So I'm going a little bit slower than I used to. Actually, a lot slower. God always listens to me. When space needs to open, I find that happens easily. Yeah. And it was related. I was just talking about this to Eva about the nurturer archetype. And when you get your helper aligned with your own sacred purpose, and you have an answer to the end of the sentence called, here's how I help. Mm-hmm. It goes a really long way, because there's a lot of people that don't, first of all, they don't want that help.
Yeah. Right?
They don't want to go the distance. They don't want to feel hard feelings or look at themselves or take out programming, all that kind of thing. And so that eliminates a lot of the noise in the process. And then I find if I just have an open yes to anything that's truly purposeful, God takes care of the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I can keep saying yes to the right thing, and I don't regret that. So,
yeah, and that's a good point. I think sometimes that we forget to kind of let things happen as they should, and try and, you know, it's like forcing the square into the triangle.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have some experience struggling and late wasting time and wasting energy and not being where you want to be. And that starts to teach you like, okay, I'm going to finish that sentence. Here's how I help.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. 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 Hello to Michelle's Healing Home, who, by the way, is on next week with Kyle Denton. God, I will have to stop doing that. We're going to talk about speaking quickly, follow up about the work that I do. And I teach a scale of emotion, how you can actually, you're not the mercy of your emotions. There's something that you can travel inside yourself and raise your own energy, not for the purpose of being such a highfalutin person, but ascending, which I totally don't believe in, but for the sake of changing your ways and doing the real healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it takes. So yeah, they're on next Thursday, 1 week today at exactly the same time. So yeah, looking forward to that as well. Now, if you're not familiar with Rebecca, if you happen to be new to this channel, she is the creator of Stand for Thee. And I've seen your track record over, how long have you guys been at it? Like for sure since 2020, but was it before then?
I actually got involved in the movement in July of 2020. And then Stand for Thee was born in, I think it was November 5th of 2020. And I just want to clarify, I did not start Stand for Thee by myself. I started it with two other individuals. And then it's over time, it's morphed to where it is now. And so I just don't want to take sole credit for the inception of Stand for Thee. So I just like to clarify that. I can't believe that it's soon going to be the 4-year mark, and it's been, you know, like literally 3 years of my life with Stand for Thee. I've had some part-time work now and then, thankfully. I mean, that's getting fewer and far between now. Stand for Thee has been my full-time job for 3 years.
There you go. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. And I've never once, because a lot of people came to me, you know, not because I'm the expert, but they came to me because I was making myself a hub for the alternative law movement and, you know, wanting to learn and wanting to get knowledge out to the people. And there literally was not one time when I sent somebody your direction that you didn't help them. I know I said that all negatives. You helped everybody I sent to you. And
well,
I was
great.
Just like, oh, yeah, yeah, really amazing. It's easy to, again, with the helping spirit, you know, a lot of those helpers, they pendulum swing into basically saying no to everything and no to everyone, and they slip up and you don't see them again. So
yeah,
what's your secret to staying in the game?
I say it all the time, I'm selfish. It really is selfishness. Because, you know, we know what they want. We know where they want to go. And I'll be frank. I've always had a problem with with authority. I've never taken direction well. And I'm also one of those people that I've known for a long time that something was wrong. When I was a little girl, I was always counting down to the 2000s. So, and here we are. And I was talking to someone the other day and I was having a moment, because it is frustrating because, you know, you're going to have wins and then you're going to have losses. And, you know, those things are, it's balancing in reality because you learn from the losses. But there's, you know, we're living in a world where it seems like there's just so much coming at us, right? There's just so much coming at us. And I was talking to a guy, sorry, my chair is squeaky. We're waiting for new furniture. So I'm sitting at my husband's desk and it's a squeaky chair. So I was speaking to a paralegal in Toronto and, you know, it's really difficult in the courts. And as I was mentioning with the JP, just admitting that, yes, it's a statute court, then why am I even there? Like, this makes no sense that I would even go into a statute court because we have a thing called rights. I digress for a moment. And so he's, you know, he's seeing his clients that he's one of the first guys I've met that is actually like really, really being creative about this, about his approach in the courts, feeling a little down. He says, you know, if you could take, if you could get $5 million and just go away and just live your life, would you do it? And I literally, because I was having a moment, I was like, you know, I don't know, man. It seems really good, doesn't it? And then as we were talking, I was like, no way. No way would I do that, because you got to look in the mirror every day. And, you know, it is like, I don't know if anybody else has had a near-death experience, but when you have a near-death experience and you actually think you're going to die, it changes your whole perspective on life. And I really, you know, at the end of the day, when we are on our deathbed, the only thing we have in life is not the things that we have, the things that we've done. And I'm not going to lie there thinking about, I didn't do everything that I could do to make this world a better place. I don't mean that. Like, I just mean, if I can help one person, then that's making the world a better place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Back to the nurturer archetype. That's a healthy way to do it, because if you don't have a strong purpose and focus, then everybody's going to come at you to help them with this thing and that thing. I was talking to a client yesterday and you end up with, you know, your waters in so many different deltas, yeah, and you end up spread out and it's all muddied because it really wasn't your intention that went into it. But as soon as you have that strong focus, then you are, you know, you're having that gravity. I was hearing all morning how gravity doesn't really exist. Some friends, anyway, I won't even say that word because it might get censored. We are on a censorable platform, just to remind you that we got to talk in. I think you're very used to talking in code and you've been taken down and out.
We lost our YouTube and we also lost our PayPal account. We were shut out of both of those.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
and then PayPal holds your money for 180 days. And I used to be an Airbnb host. So that's where I used to squirrel my money from my Airbnb. And thank God I took my money out, but they still kept a chunk of change, like a little, you know, enough money that it was annoying. And they won't even tell you why. They won't tell you why.
Right. And they don't need to. And Yeah. That's how it goes. I always think I'm under the radar, but I am on 2 out of 3 strikes here on the YouTube.
Oh,
I know. Yeah.
Get ready, because that's what happens. So Make sure you've got all your content in a safe spot, because I also switched computers and I pulled a rookie move. And when I moved everything over to the cloud, I actually didn't. So there's like a whole whack of videos that are just gone.
Yeah, that sucks. No, I'm always multi-streaming and I always immediately download the stream.
Yes,
for some reason that one goes down and this uploads automatically to Odyssey. I always forget to talk about Odyssey, and just to let people know, all of the podcast channels. So if you're on iTunes or Spotify or any of those, Anchor FM, then the audio always comes out a little bit after the fact. So this will be on those channels as well.
That's great.
Yeah. And so we were going to talk about a variety of things, including jurisdiction and legal authority in municipalities. How do you talk about the mini cities in code?
Actually, that's not even, that hasn't really been an issue so far. The big issues is anything to do with the school agenda. I think we know what that is. That's the big thing that's like the biggest thing that will get you shut down.
Okay.
Talking about anything that has to do with racial issues, we know those groups. You talk about that, you'll get shut down. But so far, there hasn't been any issues talking about other topics.
Okay.
So I mean, so far so good, right? That's this is something that is a burning issue right now. We have it's actually a strategic plan. It's actually a strategic plan. It's not called 15-minute cities. You'll see it called on the on consume I'll call it consumer facing. So you'll see in the news and you'll see conversations and glossy brochures, we'll call them 15-minute cities. So great. But when it comes to what's happening in City Hall, it's strategic plan. It's a strategic plan. And one thing that people need to remember, and I think this is something that gets lost in groups that are taking on this fight, is that the city, the municipalities have zero lawful authority. It all comes from the provinces. So in Ontario, it's the Municipals Act, and then this is why they're called bylaws. They're falling under an act. So there's and if you look at the Constitution Act, which I always so I my whole thing is going back to the foundational laws, right? Going back to which, by the way, the Magna Carta is not a law, but going back to the Magna Carta, going back to the Constitution Act, even going to the British Bill of Rights, going to all of these laws and the Constitution that really make the ground floor of our country, the legal system. And then if you look at the Constitution Act and you look at division of powers, there's two, federal and provincial. And then the provinces, sorry, and then the municipalities are falling under that. And it's really important to understand that. Because I think that there's a lot of games that they're playing in the cities, in the municipalities, where they're saying, "Oh, we're gonna try and opt out of the Strong Mayors Act." They cannot. They cannot do that. They are beholden to the Strong Mayors Act because that is provincial. It came from the province. I'm going to speak for Ontario. It came from Doug Ford. But what we've seen consistently is that the provinces are in their own form of lockstep. So whatever's happening in Ontario, what we are finding are is typically happening in the other provinces. And again, it's the same structure. So there, this, oh, we're gonna do a city council vote to get out of the Strong Mayors Act. Well, you can't. It's not gonna happen. But what you can do as a mayor is say, oh, I can't do this because this is a violation of people's rights under the Canadian Bill of Rights. Because a mayor is federally regulated, they're considered peace officers under the criminal code. Most, yes, and I bet you none of them even know that. So these strategic plans actually come. And if you look at the hierarchy, it goes like this: United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And then the World Economic Forum and all the NGOs that fall under that. And I don't care about the NGOs. I don't give a shit about the NGOs. I don't care about ICTHI. I don't care about WSP. I don't care about C40.org because these are non-government organizations. And these non-government organizations do not fall under the Bill of Rights. And they don't fall under, not that I would use the charter, but they don't fall under the charter. So when you're going down that route to focus on NGOs, it's actually disempowering. And where we need to stay focused are the people that we elect to represent us, right? So the hierarchy is this global plan. Then you have a national framework, a national plan. Then you have a provincial plan. And then the municipalities, it's trickling up from the municipalities. It's being executed from the municipalities. But in reality, it's top down. So it's very strategic. It's very clever in what they're doing. And I also want to talk a little bit about this, the incorporated entities. Absolutely, we've been incorporated. Absolutely, we have. But who gave them the authority to create these entities to begin with? Who do they think they are to take a government body and try and put it into the private sector? Who had the authority to do that? And I call these counterfeit agreements, counterfeit laws implemented by criminal politicians.
There you go. Call it what it is.
So we have to go back to the foundational laws that can crush that. And if we want to, if we're sitting in something like the charter is what got us here. And I cannot stress that enough with people. And by the way, Peckford just lost, finally, and I'm sorry, guys, but finally, someone put the nail in that coffin of this ridiculous judicial review of the travel mandate. You can't have a judicial review for something that's over. A judicial review is asking a judge to make a ruling regarding a law. If it's been revoked, it's moot. And how many times have they appealed? And I'm tired of hearing about it. If you want to go, if you want to take action, go after the ministers that implemented it, and also start looking back at the laws that they changed. The budget, I'm going to digress a little bit here. Mm-hmm. In 2019, the Budget Implementation Act was revised. Under Schedule K of the Budget and Implementation Act in 2019, under Bill Morneau, a liberal who's now retired, they changed or they repealed Section 62 of the Quarantine Act to state that they no longer needed to go through the House to vote on a regulation. In 2019, June of 2019.
Good timing.
Yes. And also, there was a section, and I need to go back and dig into it, giving the transport minister the power to create regulations without going through the House. And who implemented the rules? It was the Minister of Health and the Minister of Transportation. So these two people were empowered in 2019 to change the procedures, or sidestep the procedures. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to unpack with all of that, and I feel like I am kind of switching gears a little bit. But if you're going to take action, and what you're doing is not working, you got to switch gears a little bit. And there's an opportunity there. There is an opportunity, especially what's going on with the RiveCan. And in case anyone is not aware, a RiveCan, I think we all know, had nothing to do with the actual control of any disease, but it really was rolling up to the known traveler ID?
Yeah, and just to back up a little bit, if anybody isn't Canadian here, because people are from all over.
Oh, okay, yes.
ArriveCan was an app that I think their budget was $9 million and they spent
$54 million. Oh, no.
No?
Their budget was like $80,000.
And they spent $54 million.
Well, I think $80,000 was ridiculous. I'm not sure where that number came from, but they are still using it, by the way. It's available to use on a volunteer basis to expedite the entry into Canada. And in reality, what that is a tool that sits under, it's called the KTID, which is a World Economic Forum joint venture. And Canada is one of the test pilots mm-hmm. with the Montreal Airport, Pearson Airport, the Government of Canada, and Air Canada. Do you know that Air Canada is, the Government of Canada owns 6% of Air Canada.
You
probably remember that Air Canada used to be a Crown corporation.
Right.
In the 1970s, they let it go public, but they still own 6%. Hence the reason that we have bailouts for companies, like bank bailouts and bailouts to organizations like Air Canada. Because you know with the bailout, there's the conditions, right? You got to do what we say now. So there's reasons for bailouts that people, it's beyond giving them money. It's no, we're going to give you money and then control you. Just like the businesses, the small businesses that took these loans, we actually saw one of the contracts and it said in there, you take this money and now you got to do what we say. Wow. So it's not, that's what government, yeah, that's what government money does, right? Mm-hmm. Sell your soul. So.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the pain of government dependency. Yeah. And yeah, so that's a good update on that app. And I never did download it, and I made it through a few borders. I know you went through a lot. You were you've traveled so much over the last couple of years, or 3 years, even 4 years, and defied all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Between my husband and I, we had $32,000 in tickets. you know, going back to the 15-minute cities. As you know, we traveled across Canada, Janice, Christina, myself, and we saw the exact same thing everywhere we went. The influx of foreigners, visible changes in communities.
Every day.
Very rapid changes in communities.
Yeah.
So that's all across the country. The road closures all across the country. Bike lanes all across the country. It's the same thing. It's slowing down traffic by putting in ridiculous speed limits. I know in the UK, they have some that are 20 kilometers an hour. You know, my husband and I drive standard. It's very hard to drive a standard car at 20 kilometers an hour because that's in between two gears. It's very it's hard on the car. And so you've got, they call them community calming zones or some bullshit, which means there's going to be a camera and you better not speed or they're going to get you. The 40 kilometer an hour, the bike lanes in inappropriate locations, closing of streets to put in community parks or whatever, like social areas. Mm-hmm. It's the same. And you know what? It's happening. I'm in Mexico right now, as you might be able to tell from the background. It's the same thing here in Mexico. They're doing the exact same thing in Mexico. They're doing it all over the world. I was watching a video of a guy in New York, and I was like, oh my God, it looks just like Toronto. You know, with the restaurants that they put on the streets and they've never left, it's the same thing. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we were just in Toronto not too long ago, and that is not the Toronto I used to love. Oh my gosh.
No.
And we took a number of public transport in one way or the other, and talking to really angry taxi drivers, for example, that now it takes them double and people don't want to use them because it's way more expensive.
But that's not even true. You know, these people using these services, the Zoom and Lyft and Uber.
Yeah.
People just don't use taxis anymore. But 8 times out of 10, the taxi is going to be cheaper.
I always will choose a taxi.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You can't even remember, you used to be able to just walk out and taxi. Now you have to call. Yep, you can't get taxis. And it's actually worse than that. I was speaking to a police officer. We did a protest where they're trying to shut down Hyde Park as they tried to shut down Stanley Park and Mount Royal in Ottawa. There were three officers there, and they thanked me as like we left, and they said, oh, you know, has everyone left the protest? Yes. And they, three of them, we want to say thank you so much. Thank you for what you're doing. We really appreciate that you guys are out here. They literally were like, thank you. And the one officer said, you know, we're not supposed to talk about these things, but we're done. We're over this. She said, we cannot get our cars through downtown can you believe that downtown Toronto, on the two major arteries, downtown Toronto, Richmond and Adelaide, down to one lane. And they said, we cannot get through even with our sirens on. How can we, when they've got barricades? And then the other crazy part, and this always bothers me. So I've been a cyclist in Toronto since like 2005, and I drive, so I understand both sides. And let me tell you that driving in Mexico is a breeze compared to driving in Toronto. Like, there's so many things that you have to watch out for. Am I speeding? Is there a red light camera? Is there an orange light camera? Is there a bike? Is there some crazy person in the middle of the road?
Is there a curb, sort of interrupt? And then, you know, in one of our middle lanes, they turn into a parking lane.
Yes.
Nobody in the right mind should park there. But the number of times I come, you know, thinking I'm just going to go ahead right to my place, and boom, I've got a parked car right in front of me. So anyway,
yep.
Yeah. No, it's in Winnipeg. They're busy manicuring the sidewalks and they leave the gaping holes in the road. But they've got the sidewalk is all perfect, right? It's
They're
making
just trying,
absolute
yeah.
sense.
What they're doing is they're making things uncomfortable. That's the whole goal here, is to make things uncomfortable.
Yeah,
And
that's
I think they're doing a pretty good job
exactly.
because they can't really implement what they want to do. They're doing it slowly and gradually. They're making everything uncomfortable. They're making life uncomfortable. They're making what they did at Christmas time. They made travel uncomfortable. They're making driving uncomfortable. They're making going out for dinner uncomfortable. Everything, they're making everything uncomfortable so that we'll just sit in our homes. And I'll tell you something. I met up with a friend of mine before leaving, and she said, "You know what? We didn't do anything this summer. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything." And it's as to your point, all of those beloved things that we have enjoyed in Toronto are gone.
I
It's
know.
gone.
I
It's
know.
sad.
Yeah. When we were there, I was looking for closures because here, when you say drive through Winnipeg, the downtown is absolutely desertified. There's vacancy after vacancy. Now, that's been for a while. Our downtown kind of died a while ago. And in Toronto, I wasn't seeing it. So I started talking to shopkeepers as we were on Queen Street. And they're like, no, don't be fooled. The little guy got taken out and the chain
Yeah.
moved in. And
Yeah.
I don't necessarily recognize the chain because they're trying to look like the little guy.
Yeah. Oh no, Toronto. When we returned to Toronto in April, so we were gone from September till April. It was really difficult coming back because that was a long enough time to see the changes. Because if it's like gaining weight, right? You look in the mirror every day, and then one day you're like, oh shit, I've gained 30 pounds and you didn't notice.
Yep.
It's the same thing. But to leave and come back, oh my gosh, it was so heartbreaking to come back. First of all, I couldn't believe the change in the demographic in downtown. And it is very noticeable. In Toronto, it was more Chinese. Everywhere else it's Indians, like that's just a fact. And it's not just that it's international individuals, it's that they're not speaking English. So it's a problem. My mother said she went out for dinner in Belleville and the server didn't speak English. What? Well, they're getting incentives to hire them.
Right,
That's the problem.
exactly.
And Tim Hortons is only hiring brown people. Like that's what we saw consistently. They are getting money from the government to do so. And it's hard. White men, they're the bottom of the totem pole. I counted 28 businesses between Wellesley Street and Isabel Street in Toronto, which is like 5 blocks. I only counted on one side of the street 28 businesses. And what they're doing is they're tearing down the old, and they keep the facade, which is a big deal. You kept some bricks. And then they put up these shitty condos. But in every condo building, every block, you probably had, 10, maybe 15, even 20 businesses, because remember, upstairs, downstairs. And when the condos come in, you have maybe three. And most of them are banks. You're going to have a Starbucks, or you're going to have a Tim Hortons, you're going to have a big chain, and it's absolutely destroying our communities. And this is the guise of COVID. The COVID has, when we were locked away, they did it just long enough for us to start to forget what the world that we used to live in, right? And my husband and I, we live in Koreatown, and Koreatown was like always noisy, like busy activity. And now it's a fraction of what it used to be. And it's pretty much dead by, on the weekends, it's a little bit later. But like there was one restaurant that was open till 5 o'clock in the morning, and now everything's closing earlier. It's just devastating, and that's part of it, right? Because that gets people out of the streets, keeps them at home. They're not putting money into the community. They're shopping online, which I don't like doing. They are shopping online. They're buying food online. Everything is just destruction of the small businesses, which will roll into the 50-minute cities because you will own nothing to be happy. And, these were being controlled by psychopaths. But the thing is that we can take action if we do so now. And we really have to look at the individuals who are doing the harm. I'm actually having a meeting today. We're having a private session with some individuals to talk about what to do about these 15-minute cities and taking action. Because, you know, in Toronto, again, we have one city councillor, his name is Gord Perks, who's been empowered to essentially shut down a park, which, by the way, that was gifted to the city. It was gifted to the city by the owner. Their names were the Howards. They gifted the city. It's like 160 hectares of land. It's a massive park. And, you know, I've said to people, I bet you any money they want that land for a 15-minute city project. Don't be fooled. They don't give a shit about the environment. Stop with this nonsense. Mm-hmm. So we want to take action against Gord specifically for discrimination and breach of duty and negligence, because there's been no proper public consultation, mm-hmm. and they're acting in excess of their authority. And I don't, you know, I can't tell you what's going to work, what isn't going to work, but I'm done with talking. I'm done trying to negotiate with these people. Don't be disillusioned that they don't know what they're doing. And the ones that do know, or the ones that do care, are being overpowered by the ones that have an agenda. And there are men, these are implants. These are people that believe in the sustainability bullshit. They are for the UN agenda. They are hired to perpetuate it. A lot of them are global young leaders. Nenshi in Calgary, perfect example. Look what that man did to Calgary. I cannot believe what has happened in Calgary.
What happened?
Well, it's the same bullshit, right? It's a shadow of its former self. The downtown core is just, you don't want to be down there. And you know, this reverse racism bullshit. And it's just all of these different little agendas, right? You've got the rainbow haired people with their agenda, and hey, squeaky wheel gets the grease, I'll give it to them, right? And then you have what's going on in the schools with the agenda. And this is causing a lot of suffering with the children. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just focus on downtown Calgary. I mean, we were there for, you know, I don't know, an hour. And by the end, cops came over and said, were you guys a witness to the assault? And I was like, what are you talking about? Calgary has always been like the city that has money. And now it's like,
impoverished.
Like everybody else, every other city, you know, they're turning them into shitholes. Because they want to lock us away. And what better way to do that than have drug-filled streets with people with mental illness?
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's not fair. I'm not judging anybody with an addiction or mental illness. Mm-hmm. But their solution is just to throw them on the streets and then give them free drugs.
Yeah.
How is that helping anybody?
Yeah, we've seen it here in Winnipeg a lot of years already. I remember I would make trips to the U.S., which they don't want us to do, because you go there and like, oh man, same climate, good roads, happy people, businesses are alive.
Even in Fargo, it's so different.
Even in Fargo, just like, you know, that's not considered a nice place. But for us, it's like, oh, luxurious. This is like really nice.
It's absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, people need to get involved with council, and they need to get involved with, literally your counselor in your community. Start going to their events. Start find out what they're doing. Get on the newsletter and start participating. Because, you know, if we can start shaping what these guys are doing through our opinions and our voice, mm-hmm. and start shifting the perspective to a conservative view, because it's so far into the other side right now, because they're the ones that show up. So we need to show up. And, you know, I'm not saying don't delegate, but it's not realistic to think that you can do some kind of fabulous delegation and it's going to stop the UN agenda. That is just not going to happen. And case in point with Peterborough, I mean, they just put out the district map. So...
They just what?
They just put out the new district map.
Ah.
We're all getting districts if they're to succeed.
There you go. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a long game they've been playing and they don't care how long it takes. If there's short-term failures, doesn't matter. That's, there's no skin off their back or however that expression goes. And we need to play the same long game.
Like we do. And I think that a lot of us have been running a marathon, a sprint and not a marathon. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. And for myself, I've really taken a step back and really choosing where I'm going to focus my time, because it's a lot. And it's difficult too, because you'll hear from somebody who's been physically harmed, mentally harmed. People have lost their job. Their children are being harmed. And you're taking all of that in, you know, and I think we're kind of cut from the same cloth, and there's a lot of empathy and, of course, this desire to fix things that you can't just snap your fingers and make it right. There's a process. And then there's a lot of demoralization, even in our own camp. You know, when we say things like Chanada, well, how are you going to stand up and fight if you think we can't? And so I get really frustrated with people that are demoralizing and saying, oh, we're Chinata, we don't have any laws, the system is corrupt. It's not the system, it's the criminals that are hijacking the system. Mm-hmm. So we got to start holding them responsible. The one thing that we talked about last week, because obviously we have the notices of liability and we have the small claims, but what we talked about last week is, maybe it's time to start laying criminal charges, private charges against people. Mm-hmm. Because we have people that are having their property taken from them. We have people who are having their businesses are being shut down for ridiculous reasons. Look at the state of our farming. I mean, there's just so many things. And now with this Arrive Can, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. You want me to go to court to defend a $6,500 ticket, $8,500 in Manitoba, when we know that the RCMP was investigating a year ago. Some people may have actually received tickets while the RCMP investigation was going on. 2022 is when this first came out. We actually don't know how long it's been investigated, but $55 million for an app. And as you know, I used to be a project manager. I guess sometimes I still am. In IT, and I used to build apps. They don't cost 55. Like, does it come with a house? Does it come with a mansion and a helicopter?
And a butler. Like, and, yeah.
It's just, and you know, at the end of the day, how can those MPs sit in that house with any amount of self-respect and still have the balls to stand up and defend themselves? Mm-hmm. It's just, they're mm-hmm. criminals. And yeah. I think we need to start treating them as such. And we can't say what's really going on within the RCMP, but it would appear that they actually did try to investigate and they were blocked 44 times is what they're saying. And so for us, okay, well, we know what the problem is. The problem is cabinet confidentiality. Okay, then let's go around that. And we don't need the cabinet confidentiality. But when you have a Budget and Implementation Act changing the Quarantine Act in June of 2019, when you have the ArriveCan contracts that were awarded in 2019, it wasn't for ArriveCan, I'm aware of that, but it was the same players.
Right.
And when you have the Minister of Transportation given authority to create regulations in 2019, well, all the pieces are starting to come together. And when you can look at, you know, these meetings that were taking place in Manhattan that were prepping for a pandemic, when you have the known traveler ID program that started long before COVID, put it together. Mm-hmm. And now how much more do we need to hear about the cover-ups? SNC-Lavalin, the We Charity Foundation, the WEF, the United Nations, the ArriveCan, how much more do we need to see? And the way I look at it, guys, let's try all avenues. And I think for me, where I'm at is I think that maybe myself, I've been boxing myself a little bit, and it's time to kind of look at other options and start sticking the feet in the water and seeing what happens.
Right on. I was just going to ask about the RCMP investigation. So that was last year. Do you think it was bona fide, or was it just like one of the commissions that they were trying to make it look like they were doing diligence?
I think this is just as serious as the SNC-Lavalin, because they made up.
Do you want to give background on that, just in case anyone doesn't know?
All I know about the SNC-Lavalin is that they interfered with the investigation. The Liberals interfered with the RCMP's investigation of the SNC-Lavalin. And I'm not that familiar with it because it's hard to get information on it. And also, you know, the Auditor General, she resigned over it. She actually left.
Wow.
And...
it was a good idea from Maria, by the way. Could you build a critical thinking or freedom thinking app?
You can't force people to critical think.
Yeah, you can't.
If
nobody
only you could.
Not Boris, but for those who would use it. Yeah.
Going back to ArriveCan. So the issue with ArriveCan is, and it's the same thing as the weird We Charity. It is literally fraud and forgery. So there's, you know, I don't think I need to explain to you the RFP process, right? And with the government, they have a website. They put together their RFP request. They put it out there, and then everybody is welcome to respond. You provide your request for proposal response, and in there you tell them how you're going to satisfy the asks, and in there you're going to state the roles that you have in your organization that will roll into the execution. So I've got a project manager, I've got a copywriter, I've got a developer, I've got a QA person. Here's who they are, and here's their CV. Go look at them to prove that they're competent, right? So what happened in ArriveCan, this agency who does work with the government found their name on the contracts and went, what? We had nothing to do with this. And then there were names associated with it. That's what happened. This is fraud. Yeah. This is forgery. So why in the heck should any Canadian, why should those courts continue with any ArriveCan tickets when it was created with deception? And this goes back to the statute court. This goes back to the bullshit of the statute court. It's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is the bullshit. Wow. And from what I understand, is that the RCMP, they got the complaint from this agency, and then they were looking into it, and they were trying to get the government. So cabinet has confidentiality. So cabinet can make decisions that are confidential, and their votes are confidential. So what I understand is they were trying to get those records, and they couldn't. So it's a whodunit. I like to say a Scooby-Doo whodunit, because they can't get the information, and they had requested it, and it was the Liberal government, which, think about it. Who's the governor? Governor in general is the Liberal cabinet. Okay? Liberal cabinet is responsible for any regulations under an act, but then they have cabinet confidentiality. So beg your fucking pardon, excuse me, but what this means is that they're creating regulations and we don't know who's doing it because they have confidentiality. So there's a big problem here. There's a huge problem. And you know, it goes back to us going back to the foundational laws and what does the Constitution say? And are these laws actually lawful? Meaning, are they being implemented lawfully? Mm-hmm. Are they going through the proper procedures and processes to create regulations? This is a big question mark right now. So there is a lot to unpack with all of this, and in particular with the Quarantine Act, because I'm, again, with having $32,000 in tickets, I've become quite versed in it. And there's, I mean, 1.5 million Canadians didn't comply. Thank you so much, 1.5 million Canadians.
Exactly.
And so it seems to me that there's fraud and forgery throughout our laws, our regulations, and clearly the government. And I believe that all of it is facilitated with the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, because that's when our judicial system started to change. And then with free trade, we ended up with these courts of justice that are not courts of inherent jurisdiction. They are statute courts, as I just mentioned, that cannot adjudicate on rights issues.
Right, right. Can you define a court of inherent jurisdiction? Is that like explicitly about rights? Is that?
Yes. Or, so yeah. If you look on the Ontario Courts of Justice, if you look on the history of the courts and you look up history of courts and you look at Superior Court, the Superior Court of Ontario, it states in it, and it's consistent all across Canada, that it's the only court that has inherent jurisdiction. And it actually talks about the Magna Carta and states that its framework resembles that of the old, or not the old, but British courts. But if you read Section 38(2) of the Court of Justice Act, it states that the Court of Justice gets its jurisdiction from acts. And I confirmed that with this JP this morning by asking that question.
Right. And did he not know, do you think, or they just hope you don't know or don't look into it?
I'm self-represented, right? So she was quite jovial. She was quite nice. So she was providing me extra information. Basically what she was saying is you're guilty. So you just letting you know that how this court works is that there's a statute. And if you violate the statute and the evidence says you violate the statute, you're going to be guilty. There's no reason, there's no excuse.
There's no plea.
So I'm just like, so why don't you just find me guilty so that when I get my transcripts to appeal, it'll only cost me $100. Mm-hmm. What's the point in arguing anything? But this is JPT, and I need to decide what I'm going to do next. Actually, my husband needs to decide. It's not my trial. So I asked the question. So what you're saying is this is a statute court. Well, yes. And then she said, well, the charter. And I said, oh, so you can use the charter because that's statute, right? Yes. Thank you.
There you go. Yeah. That's smart. That's smart. And so I was speaking with somebody the other night, and that's in fact why we're on now, just because that conversation, who herself got out of a quarantine ticket. And I thought it might be useful to just go over where she went right and where it might be misleading if you watch her in that situation, that some of it might end up being literally misinformation. And, I copy and pasted the wrong report that she had. Do you have any top of mind details? What did she end up? I'd have to go back to my.
I know this is the one that we discussed, right?
Yeah.
What did she say?
I'll pull it up real quick.
Yeah. There was a few things that she said that didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to say why anybody is having their charges dropped. There's been some, and I was talking again to my friend who's the paralegal. I was talking to him yesterday about this, and we're seeing correlations, but we can't say that that's actually it.
There's no actual science in this world.
No. And it's not like they're going to say, oh, we did it because, the standing committee hearing into ArriveCan app is currently live on MP Garnett. Oh, I got to watch this after. More scandal being revealed. Okay. I'm going to have to watch it later tonight. Can you put the chat? No, I'll find it on. I'm going to take a screenshot. Excuse me. I just don't want to forget the guy's name because I heard it's on now and I want to watch it.
Okay.
I think I still have an ArriveCan ticket. Okay. I have to have a spreadsheet to manage all my tickets because I have too many of them.
There you go.
Go ahead, Beth.
Yeah, I found one of the things that if there's a problem with the ticket that you were saying that it just completely makes the case dismissed. No. So what's the real truth there?
If there's a problem on the face, for example, it's called a fatal error. So the wrong offense number is a fatal error. Not identifying the charge as a fatal error, they can still try to proceed. So for example, if you have a 7.0.11 of the Emergency Management Civil Protection Act in Ontario, that's actually not an offense. It states that, yes, Mac, rest in peace, Mac. If you, that's, so that 7.0.11 says, if you do something, then these, this would be the penalty. That's not what the offense is. So offense would be, for example, 10.1, I believe it is, of the Reopen Ontario Act that says that you had a gathering more than five people in your house. That's an offense. So the 7.0.11 ruling, or sorry, ticket, doesn't identify what the offense is. So technically that should be tossed. But they still may try to argue it because that's what they do. I'm sorry, guys, but prosecutors lie. JPs lie. Judges lie. Yes, they do. Yes, and I can't believe how many people are like, well, they told me. I'm like, but they lie. They're lying to you. So anyway, that's there are cases where you could request to have, you could do a motion to quash on face if there's a defect. That doesn't mean they're going to do it. That doesn't mean they're going to do it. That's one thing. Number two, not stating a guilty or not guilty plea. Remember when you put your ticket in, you're checking off. You're already telling them guilty or not guilty when you submit your ticket for trial. You can choose resolution, or you choose not guilty and you submitted it. Like, I don't know if this is, you can choose guilty or not. I don't think so, but maybe it does, because I don't recall. So I'm not sure how not making a plea is going to impact anything. It's highly, what, there's two things that are happening. Number one, the witnesses are not available. Either they're not showing up or they're not available. Mm-hmm. We have seen, it happened with me. The PHAC officer was in the room, and then suddenly the PHAC officer was gone. They made me sit in that courtroom from 10 o'clock until 2:30 p.m. It's nerve-wracking because you never know. Am I going to be called next? Am I going to be called next? And then the Crown called the PHAC officer's name at 10:30 in the morning. Then they took a break, came back, resumed. Then we went on lunch, came back at 2:30 p.m. And then they finished the first trial, read my charges, and then my charges were dropped. No witness. Well, where'd the witness go? She got summoned. And there was another guy, another woman, Dragica. She went to court. Her PHAC officer was there. They suddenly disappeared. Her charges were dropped. Excuse me. But I can't say 100% it was because she also submitted a motion for particulars. That we submitted the motion for particulars. I can't say that. I can only tell you what happened. Mm-hmm. So it's frustrating because I wish I could say, this is it. And then sometimes they won't hear the motion. So it's all over the freaking map. It really is.
Yeah. It's very, it turns people off. And that's exactly what they want, right? That you can't just go in and actually learn the rules. One, a good friend of ours is still trying to crack the nut every single day. He's like, I think I've got it. It's like, oh, I lost it. I was like, oh, this makes no sense. Tried this, didn't, how would you respond to this? I know it's a little bit of controversy, but if they lie, there is no justice.
Well, there's no justice in that instance. Mm-hmm. And let's remember that we, again, are dealing with bastard courts, and we need to get out of those bastard courts, number one.
And the bastard courts being statutory.
The statutory courts. Yeah. And like, honestly, I was like kind of pleased that she admitted that this morning or today. But, I can't play into that game that we're not going to have justice, because we have had wins. Mm-hmm. Norm Blanchfield won the right to freedom of speech. That's on record. He had his bail. Yes. He had his bail variance changed. And the judge stated multiple times that freedom of speech, and that is not in the charter, by the way, and they didn't do a charter argument. Freedom of speech is a fundamental right in Canada. That was stated several times on record.
Right on.
There was another Bill of Rights win. I forget who that was now. And then, by the way, Sean Jason, guys, won. He had his reopen the Ontario Act ticket, and he argued freedom of the press. So
there you go. I have a few notes here. You said Mitchell had all of his charges dropped the week after a 2-year battle of doing self-representation.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So in Mitchell's case, Mitchell was charged for masking, and he went to court without a mask. And then he was charged with in absentia. He was convicted in absentia on that one. And then, or was he charged with, I get confused all the time. Anyway, he got his charges dropped. His was an organizer at a protest, and it was outside. And there was another guy who was roughed up by the police, and they wouldn't give him the disclosure because the disclosure showed the abuse of the police.
Okay.
So I actually was there for that trial. And
okay.
So we went into the court. There was a new prosecutor on the case. And there you go. Perfect. Thanks.
The details. Yeah.
Yes. And his disclosure was just black. Like, it was all completely redacted. And so the Crown reviewed the disclosure and came back and said told the JP, or the judge, it was in New Brunswick, that yes, he should have all of the pages with the exception of a couple of paragraphs. So yes, judge, he needs to get this disclosure. It is important. You know, he needs to see this. Okay, well, let's get him his disclosure. Adjourned. Off we go. Hey, where's my disclosure? Hey, where's my disclosure? Excuse me, I need my disclosure. Yo, where's my disclosure? He goes to court. Hey, I don't have my disclosure. Okay, we'll get it to you. Goes to court. Hey, then they finally were just like, the Crown's withdrawing the charges because they didn't want him to have the evidence, which they could still get it, by the way. They didn't want him to have the evidence because the evidence showed the police beating people up.
Right.
And the person that they were beating up is the guy they arrested. So there's these bullshit shenanigans.
Yeah.
Then there was two other folks that were doing self-representation in New Brunswick over a mask, and they had their charges dropped as well, which is great.
Good. Dr. Jennifer Russell was one of those.
Yes, that was. She's the health minister.
Okay.
So she's the one that put forward the charges.
Right? Oh, pardon me. She stepped down. Right.
Yeah, she stepped down, mm-hmm. And they had a case against her, and she stepped down, which is interesting. And Effie says, yes, Kelly Hale and Dave Freedom. Dave Freedom had his charges dropped using Bill of Rights for his criminal charges for protesting. And Kelly Hale had all but, I think he had 9 charges in total. All but one was dropped. And he accepted the one charge because it didn't impact his ability to sue for the other charges if he so chose to. And it was like a rinky dinky, don't care, I'm done, let's just move on. Sometimes you call uncle, you know, like your sanity is more important.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the points that came up was the question of a criminal record, but you're not in a criminal court.
Well, so these are not criminal charges.
Right.
I mean, the Ontario Court of Justice can hear criminal charges as well as provincial offenses and mm-hmm. contravention, whatever, but it's not a criminal offense. You're not going to have but Dave Freedom actually had criminal charges. His was common nuisance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Some people were charged with common nuisance because, again, we wouldn't comply. Give me the damn ticket. Give me the ticket.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then there was an employee of the government of New Brunswick won her workers' compensation appeals tribunal.
Yes. 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 Yeah. She, hers was the injury. And so A, verified she was injured, and it put the responsibility onto the the employer.
Okay.
So that was a really good win.
Here, I'll do better on copying and pasting that link at this time. There we go. Very good. And then did you talk about Brittany and Nick in New Brunswick who had charges withdrawn?
Oh, and Joanne Person. How could we forget? Effie, thank you so much. Yes, yeah. Joanne Person. She was charged with the Coos guys. Don't even get me started on the Coos guys.
What does that mean?
The Coots boys, right? The four guys that have been in jail for 600 days and nobody will do habeas corpus, but people get mad when I mention it. But hey, keep making merchandise because that's how you help guys get out of jail. Anyway, I digress. Yes, Joanne Person was charged with gun charges. I think she had, I feel like it was four charges. I can't keep up with all of this, but it was like dangerous weapons, you know, holding without a permit, all kinds of crazy stuff. It's just, it's insane what happened to Joanne. She was detained for several hours. They actually hurt her. They broke her teeth. She has a hernia. They hurt her shoulder. They really roughed her up. They denied her medication while she was incarcerated. And she did self-representation. And all of her charges were dropped last year or earlier this year. Yeah. And it seems to me, and Byron is doing self-representation. He had four charges and three of them were dropped. The last one, he's still dealing with that one. And yeah, we've had a lot of wins and these are big wins. I mean, Byron, he was jailed for 41 days, 41 days. Pat King, does anyone know where Pat King's at? Pat King has a jury. He's actually gotten himself a jury. James Nutter had a jury and then his lawyer talked him out of the jury and I can talk more about this lawyer later, but we all know and love this lawyer. So there are a lot of wins here. And I gotta say, I'm really proud of Pat King for getting himself a jury. That's incredible.
Yeah. That's amazing. And some have resisted that, right? Like, weren't there some characters in the show that.
Yeah, that'd be Chris Barber and Tamara Leach.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And now yeah. Chris Barber's getting sweaty because there's a really bad case law that says that anyone who was participating at the convoy committed mischief. And now his lawyer, somebody has brought it to his attention, and now he's getting sweaty under the collar. It's like, well, you were given good advice to A, get a jury because it's an indictable offense. Don't use the charter. And again, Peckford just lost with the charter. And as far as I know, it's a done deal. It's not coming back. And by the way,
go ahead.
This is now terrible case law. So thanks, Peckford.
Yeah. Isn't that on purpose? Like the guy's a plant. I'm sorry. Like
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Either he's really, really, really stupid or he's a plant. And either way, dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know people have reached out to him and tried to have conversations with him and he won't budge. Apparently he's now saying, oh, maybe there is a problem with the charter. So apparently now he's starting to think that perhaps he needs to rethink the charter. I would hope that this would be the nail in the coffin to get him to move off the charter.
Right. But, that would be nice. There was one more when Range of Toronto was charged with Section 58 of the Quarantine Act, submitted a motion for particulars, confirming it was a court of inherent jurisdiction to hear a rights matter.
Very good. His charges dropped. He was in court Wednesday, I think, yesterday or the day before. Yep. So that's exciting. So we are seeing a correlation, but we can't say for sure that that's what it is. And also Janice Curry, this guy's garage is great. I love that. This guy's garage has good little tidbits. Janice Curry was arrested at the convoy. She was roughed up. She had a mischief charge and she had originally contacted the trucker lawyers. And I believe she spoke with a Monique Grenier who I had asked her to do a charter challenge and she declined. So she did self-representation. Mm-hmm. And so now she had her charges dropped and now she's helping people.
Perfect.
Yeah.
This is the hero's journey. Yeah. That's what they do. And then did you already talk about Barbara?
Yes.
Okay. You're getting fed all the details.
Yeah, that's right. Barbara had charges for, what were the charges for Barbara, Bojena? The cop I think it was the biker rally in Ottawa, and a cop pushed her like kind of out of the way. And oh no, she had a paper and it fell on the ground. She went to pick it up and the cop put her foot on the paper, like you can't pick it up. And she did the action of spitting, you know, like the old Italian ladies, like tooey. And then they handcuffed her, arrested her. She was charged with assault of a police officer and had her charges dropped doing self-representation.
Wow. And she only mimicked it. She didn't actually do it.
No, she didn't do it. She, yeah. But I mean, maybe not the best approach considering it's COVID.
Yeah, it's not the best timing to be so cheeky. So yeah, police assaults and rolling thunder. There you go.
So we've had a lot of wins. Yeah. And you know, the thing is that other than, you know, the Norm Blanchfield, and I forget the other person, but we've had a couple that are on record. These were actual rulings. So.
Yeah. And we know case law matters.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, we were going to talk a little bit. I don't know how your time is. You can just let me know if you feel like you need to start wrapping up. But we're going to talk about potentially the maybe we discuss the RCMP and the Contraventions Act. Yeah. Is there anything more you want to say about that?
Oh boy, that's a big one. That's it. Well, I think we'll need to park that because it's a lot to.
It's its own subject.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you already spoke to this to some degree, but let's see if there's anything more. The last point would be about, you know, who can declare an emergency. This is something that I've interviewed you about before. And then the burning question, we all have south of the border that's looking into this. Who does the WHO actually have jurisdiction in Canada? So there's two things.
Yep. What was the first one?
about who can declare an emergency in Canada.
Oh, right. The only way that there can be a federal emergency is under the Emergencies Act. And this goes back to the fraud under the Quarantine Act. Because if you look at the ArriveCan Act, they are stating that there was a public health emergency. Where does public health have the authority to create an emergency? They don't. And that is one of the reasons why I didn't sign the ArriveCan. So the one time I came to the airport, they gave me the paper copy. I looked at it, I said, I can't sign that. There's no emergency, that's fraud. And he pulled up the regulations. I'm like, dude, that's just order in council. That's not an emergency. So I didn't sign it. Which, by the way, I know that they were filling out for us, which is disgusting. They were putting our information into the app. So if public health, by the way, public health isn't elected. The Minister of Health is elected. Public health is not. And so there's a lot of, again, weird shit with the Quarantine Act. I did some research and I found some information on the emergencies, like emergency orders and the emergency declaration, just kind of a general information site from the federal government, from the Canada.ca website. And it states in there, Emergencies Act, public health can create orders and regulations, which they shouldn't be able to do that either because they're not elected. Why is an unelected body, just like CRTC under Bill 18, excuse me, these are unelected people appointed by the government who will now be creating regulations to benefit the government. That's not democracy. So we have a lot to deal with here. And then in terms of the jurisdiction of the WHO and the United Nations, go back to the foundational laws. Go back to the Constitution Act. There is no demonstrably justified, right? So burn the stupid charter, the commie document. Go back to our foundational laws. Go back to the Constitution Act. Go back to the Magna Carta. Go back to the British Bill of Rights, because we inherited the British Bill of Rights. We inherited all law prior to 1982. Any law from the UK is Canadian law.
There you go.
And that's a beautiful piece of legislation for us to have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. And then last, we were going to talk about, does the WHO, because this is the big fear porn everybody's sending around, and you know, we're waiting for this treaty and all that kind of stuff. So what's the reality there? Should I be scared?
Well, I think there is some legitimate concern. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The big thing is to remember is that we have the United Nations built into our criminal code. And maybe this is something that we should be challenging, right? Because you don't have to have your rights violated to challenge the validity of a law. And by the way, I want everyone to know the Bill of Rights has overturned law more than once. They overturned the Courts of Justice, the Judges Act. And they overturned the Human Rights Act. So three times that we're aware of, and I'm sure there's more. So the margin reference, the Judges Act, and the Immigration Act. So there is case law, and McKay is a really good piece of case law, where we can use the Bill of Rights to overturn law. But even without that, you go back to Section 52 of the Constitution Act that states that if a law is in conflict with the Constitution Act, it's of no force or effect. And we just saw that in action with what happened in Alberta with that energy bill that they quashed. They overturned it because it was in conflict with the Constitution Act.
Fantastic.
This is why. And remember, Trudeau was hot on the heels of Diefenbaker. He was right behind him. And he saw what Diefenbaker had done, and he knew he had to undo it. And there's no better piece of shit law that you could have created than the Charter to undermine democracy.
Right. You and you're talking,
yeah.
You're talking about Trudeau Senior here, just yes. To clarify for people. But there was a Trudeau before him. I know my dad used to swear about him a lot.
Oh, yeah, rightfully so. And yeah. So we have this perversion. That's exactly what it is, perversion of our actual foundational law, and it's been completely subverted to this bullshit criminal charter, which is actually seditious in nature because it's actually undermining the government of Canada, because the government of Canada is democracy, is democratic. So
there you go. There you go. One last thing is there was a petition going around, and I ended up signing it. I have no idea. So I'm curious your opinion on it to get Canada out of the United Nations. I think the last I saw it had like 28,000, not bad.
I think it's much higher than that now. And that's Leslyn Lewis. You know, I think Larry Brock, he's a big talker. And he does say a lot of good things, as do many of them. There's a few. But Leslyn Lewis, I think, you know, she is conservative. And I think we all know who's already going to be the next prime minister. I'm sorry, guys, but eating that apple. What does the Bible say about biting the apple? That's the first thing I thought of because I know who he is.
Right. Spell it out for us if you don't mind.
Well, it's the symbol of
good and evil, right?
Yes, good and evil, and it's the sin and the deceit, and it's the knowledge. It's the fruit of knowledge, but that's not always a good thing. And yeah. And look at your MacBooks too. Your Mac devices have the apple. So,
right.
But also listen to what he was saying. People were distracted with the apple. And what he was saying is, did you guys hear what he said? We are going to fast track licensing foreign doctors within 60 days. Yeah, thank you. That's a problem. Why not fix the system that we have here and deal with the shit at home and not bring in, by the way, foreign United Nations doctors who are most likely not going to be the same skin color as us because we are the less desirable right now.
Yeah.
That's a fact. And it's already been happening in hospitals now. Anyway, I digress a little bit. But
I have to jump in quickly. Like 20 years ago, when I was receiving cancer treatments in the alternative world, it was full of physicians from other parts of the world, but they couldn't qualify for anything. So they would have to start at the beginning with their, and they would end up little technicians in a natural clinic or something like that because they couldn't use all their skills. And here we are, 60 days and they're in. Give me a break.
Yes. And, you know, one of the reasons why they don't accept these degrees from foreign countries is because there's a lot of forgery and fraud.
Right.
And in particular with countries like Eastern European countries, Russia being kind of, I'm looking at you, Russia. And so, and I know that because I have a lot of friends who are from Russia, and there's just a lot of problems in these countries. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons. You have to prove their competency. So what are they going to do? Give them a multiple choice questionnaire? It's insane. It's insane. But going back to Leslyn Lewis, as far as I know, she's the only one who was talking about vaccine injuries with her constituents, right? How many are doing that? She has been very vocal and outspoken. She brought forward the UN charter. She brought forward this petition. She does have the charter in it. I wish that we could. She's a lawyer, so we have to forgive her for that. But I think, hey, sign up. Let's go for it.
There you go. Yeah.
I would not stand behind any political party. I'd stand behind independents, not political party. No way. Those parties are actually unlawful. They need to go.
Right on. Excellent. Well, this has been fantastic. I'm so glad that you took the time. You're welcome anytime, Rebecca. Just put your hand up and let me know, like, hey, there's a few things I want to talk about. Absolutely. Yeah, I like being related with you. I appreciate all the help that you've given my people over the last years. And anything I can do to be of assistance, I'm happy to do that.
Thank you. And you as well, Beth. I mean, you know, just having the voice for people and putting the words out there and getting people connected, that's beautiful. And that's what we need to do, right?
Right on. That's awesome. All right, my dear. Well, I love you. And I think we can call it a day. Maybe you can still catch some of that other live. Is there a link to share if other people would be interested?
I don't have the link. If anybody has it, they want to share it.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah,
no worries.
I'll go look at it. Okay, yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay. Lots of love for now. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right. There we go. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for coming. It's always a lucid conversation that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and there's that. We got this. And thanks, Bajina, for coming. Nice to see you. And Janet saying, I used to be a standardized patient for Ottawa University. All the foreign doctors had to go through 2 years. I know. It was totally stringent. It was like, it was stupid, but for some good reasons, like we were talking about. Thank you, Kimberly, for coming. I totally appreciate it. And no caller ID is calling me again. Sorry. Just like there's someone's trying to reach me, but they don't want to be seen. So who could that be? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You can hear my cat in the background desperately needing to go outside. So I'll call it a day for today, but I will be back on Monday interviewing Sherry Rothwell about your health and why so many things come down to the gut. And why it's not so simple once you're in that situation, how to not necessarily get in the situation in the first place. But if you do, let's talk to somebody sober, right? Not pie in the sky and not just saying, oh, there's no reason it shouldn't work and all sounds good. All right. Okay. Well, I love you guys so very much. And I look forward to seeing you back on Monday. Bye for now. I know there's Ocean.